So who knows when he's coming again, but he's coming again. And who knows when, but I know he's coming again soon. Great things are happening. Yeah. I had an awesome week this week, and I will tell you about it. It was more than awesome. But before I tell you what God done for me, I want to know if there's any of you got any praise reports that you want to tell what God did for you. If you got a praise report, I want to hear it.
Amen.
Tommy, come up here. I'm going to call on you. I want you to come up here and tell us this praise report. See, you shouldn't have told me. I already know about it. So get up here. In the name of Jesus, you can't let something that wonderful go by you. You got to tell what God does when he does those kind of things. Now, here's a man that was sick with cancer, wasn't supposed to live, and now he's got healed, and now listen to what he's out doing.
Amen.
Hold that up for him and tell us.
We had a gentleman last week. In fact, he's been coming to church now for about 3 weeks, and we got to pray for him, and he had category 4 of lung cancer with no chance, and he went Friday, and he's completely healed.
Amen. No praise be King. Glory to God. Wow. When you get to where you can pray the prayer of faith, you can see him get healed, can't you, Tommy? Praise God. There's a man right there that told me he'd spent $1 million on himself in the past 10 years. He just wished he'd have met me a whole lot earlier. That's what he said. But anyway, he's glad that he did. And he finally gets a hold of the Word of God. Now he's praying the prayer of faith for him, getting him healed himself. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
I'm telling you, awesome. Amen. Who else has got a testimony? Ruthie, you got one?
Yes.
Okay. Come up here, girl, and tell us what God done for you.
I just give honor and glory to you, Lord, and praise your name, and thank you for your healing power. And I thank God for this man here. On August the 6th, we have a meeting once a month in a restaurant in Arlington, and right before the meeting, I had an attack on my stomach like your wife had, remember? And the week before, when you were up here testifying how your wife had the pain in her stomach, she came to the priest of the house. I came to my husband praying, and it went away, and I know the enemy didn't like me. And
like
he didn't want us to have that meeting that night, and he wanted me to stay home from the meeting that I was supposed to be opening up, you know. So anyway, I had another phone call that day, and it was from my sister in Bullhead, Arizona, and many of you have heard me stand here and confess that my brother is taking a healing from cancer and having chemotherapy. Well, he had a spell, a seizure, and he passed out in the carport, and his wife called me hysterically crying, and so anyway, I prayed over her, and then I called and left a message on your answer machine. I know he must have got it. I know God heard it, and for y'all to pray. And anyway, we got a report August the 7th, I think it was the 8th, back from saying that they thought he had a staph infection, but he didn't. And I thank God for answering prayers. And I also want to testify, you know, the Lord gave me a word many years ago, and I'd forgotten what he'd called me to do, and that's terrible, I confess. I don't know where I was up in whatever, but anyway, this about a month ago, I saw a little word that I had written from the Lord to myself, from him, and a word he'd given me. He said, older women teach younger women how to love their husbands and be good keepers of the home, and young men to be sober. And then I said, Lord, I repent. And the book he gave me to write, you know, it's not just to lay on the shelf and collect dust and spiders. And so anyway, the Lord gave me the fire back, and I just thank him, and I thank God for being in a church like this where the fire is at.
Amen.
And it gets imparted by listening to the word and to the tapes. But anyway, when I made that commitment, the Lord just anointed me, and the words just started flowing out of me. And so anyway, I've been doing what he said, and the Lord had me call these people on the phone, two ladies, and they'd been on my heart for quite some time. Call one, I said, would you have lunch with me? She said, yes. She spelled out her things that she needed prayer in her marriage and in her life. And then the next day I had a meeting with another lady, same thing. And so I want y'all to stand in agreement that the healing take place in these homes and these marriages, and the Lord deliver me from these attacks. Amen.
Amen.
Especially
amen.
On my tummy. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You got one? Come on. Come up here and tell us what Jesus has done for you, young lady. Praise the King. Glory. Jesus is more than awesome. You know it?
I know it.
You know it.
I've been moving into a trailer up near Thurman.
Roanoke.
In Roanoke. And several weekends, people from this church in Hillcrest came out in numbers and helped me. and it was awesome. But then after that, you know, the crowd thins out and you're by yourself. And I say, okay, God, I need angels, because even though I got everything in storage, I got to get it out of storage and get it over to my place. So God has worked miracles. I hurt all over, and I say, you give me strength every day, God. You are not going to let me go. You haven't brought me this far. Just let me fall on my face. And so every day, even though it hurts, it's making me stronger. And I wake up in the morning and I say, God, give me help today. And sometimes He just makes me strong enough to do it. And I've been heaving boxes like a longshoreman. It's awesome. And the man that I'm buying the trailer from is half bubble off of Plum. He's done some really weird things. But God has been protecting me from him. And I bought new door knobs and deadbolts. And he was determined to have a key to my place, and I didn't want him to have one. And so one day I told him that I was not going to give him a key, and he said, no problem. And I thought, that was too easy, something's wrong. So God just hit me like never before, right in my chest. I just felt like somebody just took their fist and hit me right in my chest. And he said, go look at those doorknobs, because I hadn't opened them. And they were open like somebody with a big hand and put their hand down in it. And you know, bubble wraps, once you mess it up, you don't get it back the way it was. And God told me, he says, he got in there and got the keys so he would have a key to your place. He said, you take that, just right, you know, right at me. He says, you go over there to Home Depot and you take those doorknobs back and you exchange them for different ones so he won't have a key to your house. So even though people weren't there, God was there, angels were there, and he protected me. I went right over there to Home Depot, and I exchanged those doorknobs. And so now he thinks he has a key to my house.
But he don't.
But he don't.
Nobody
he
should
went
have
and
a
made,
keys.
He went and made copies, and God told me that. And so now I have locks, and then David and Ayesha came over last night. And they had taken my desk all apart, and that was the log jam. And I said, God, what am I gonna do? Because everything was waiting on that. And Dave put my desk back together again. God helped me find pieces that we couldn't find. And so when you're alone, you're not alone. And you just gotta know who to call on, and they'll come.
Amen.
You gotta believe they're there. Because even though I'm bruised, I look like somebody put me in a dryer and turned it on. But I mean, angels have been giving me strength to lift things that I could not lift by myself. And giving me wisdom how to arrange things and do things. So I just want to praise God that even though I'm alone, I am not alone.
Amen. Amen. You're never alone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Never alone. Come on up here. You got one? I was fixing to quit, but I saw you raise your hand. Okay. Praise the King. What did God do for you this week?
Well, it's not what he does for me this week. It's what he does for me every week.
Oh, okay.
And Thurman knows that I've been battling a situation with the devil for a number of years. And from time to time, it takes financial tolls on me. So I was up against another deadline that I was needing to get some finances in. And I didn't know exactly, I had resources, but they were really not that desirable. And so when I called on these resources to extend credit where I needed it, I thought if I can get maybe a percentage of interest less. And instead of, at the time, I got it for, instead of 4%, I got it for 1%.
Wow. Hey.
And so for the expenses that I had to consolidate to pay that off, the interest rate that I was paying for 8 times the amount of money was equal to what I was paying for 1/8 of it before.
Wow. Praise the Lord. You really got a blessing, didn't you?
I did.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me read you a testimony I got from an email. But first of all, let me ask you a question. How many of you know what Ephesians 3:20 says? How many can quote that verse? Hold your hand up if you know Ephesians 3:20. What? I can't believe this. Only a handful of people can. What kind of deal is this? What? You want to know why y'all don't get nothing from God? You don't know His Word. Goodness gracious alive. Ephesians 3:20. Oh, my goodness. So some of you need to read that then, or all of you need to read it. Because that's your God. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can even think or imagine, according to the power that works in you. He's an awesome God. You got to get to where you think like Him. In Ephesians 3:20. But I'm gonna tell you, when I thought about our God and what He's able to do, when I prayed this prayer of faith for this woman a couple weeks ago at the healing school, I want to read this testimony she sent back. I have the most amazing testimony to tell. I have already told Rosemary about it. My mother, aunt, and myself came to the Dallas Healing School on Saturday, August the 13th. I was there to receive a healing from the most tremendous grief as a result of the loss of my only child, a son, on May the 9th of this year. Had attempted suicide twice since he died, and have been in and out of 3 hospitals. I have been taking antidepressants, anti-anxiety pills, visiting psychiatrists and psychologists, and nothing seemed to help at all. You know why nothing helped? Because it's a devil. That's what it is. I prayed, I read the Bible, I listened to Thurman's tapes day and night, and still felt absolutely no peace whatsoever day or night. I cried continuously and continued to confess that I could not live without my son. You see anything wrong with that statement? I continued to confess I cannot live without my son. Wrong confession. She was holding fast to the wrong confession. My son, Brian, and I were extremely close. He lived at my home for 25 years of his 29 years. My mother, my aunt, and I came into agreement before we left for Dallas for our healing. I explained my situation to Pastor Scrivener before the healing school began. When the prayer for healing began and Pastor Scrivener asked the Father for my peace of mind and to let me know that my son was all right and to rid my mind from the torturous grief and mourning I had been experiencing for almost 4 months, I could instantly feel a feeling of peace. He also cast the demon from hell from me and my home, never to return. Now that's the most important thing you got right there. You got to get rid of that devil. On our return trip back to Tulsa, Oklahoma, the next day we stopped at a Brahms just after crossing the Oklahoma line. I had been charging my cell phone and I unhooked it from the charger before I got out of the car and I placed it in the holder next to the seat of my car. I went into Brahms briefly to use the ladies' room, and when I returned to the car, my mother said there was a beep on my cell phone. But it did not ring. My aunt had gone into Brahms to get ice cream and drinks. I checked my cell phone and it said I had a new voicemail. I dialed my mail and had to skip one message that had been on my phone for a while. Then the second message came through. At first, I thought this was a prank call. There was an extreme amount of static, not like normal interference on a cell phone. Then a low voice seeming to have difficulty speaking. At first, it sounded like breathing. Then I realized the voice was my son's. And he was saying, "Mom, Mom, Mom." The word "Mom" was drawn out. I gave the phone to my mother as I wanted her confirmation, and she turned white as a sheet. as I was, and exclaimed, "That's Brian." I immediately hit number 5 to save the message before it finished playing. My aunt came back to the car and I wanted her to hear it. I was able to bring it back and listen again. I couldn't believe it. Isn't that amazing? I couldn't believe it. Are we unbelievers in the church? It's amazing. I couldn't believe it. I gave it to my aunt, which by this time his voice was getting louder and clearer because I could hear his voice coming through the phone, and she was in the back seat. He said, "Mom," 2 more times, and then he tried to say my aunt's name, Wilda. He called everybody's name that was in the car. I grabbed the phone from her, but the message ended. I tried to retrieve it, but could not. There was no incoming phone numbers at all. I guess you don't get no phone numbers from heaven. I guess God don't leave his number when he calls. We all sat there a few minutes in shock. I feel like a new person. I love my son with all my heart and miss him terribly, but I don't have the tremendous grief that I had before. I am praying for another sign or message, as I didn't get to hear all of it as I was sharing this with my family. God bless you, Pastor Scribner. Is that an awesome God? You pray and ask him to give a mother that's living in grief a miracle to let her know that her son's okay. Can he do that, Sharon? Sure he can. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all you and I could even think or imagine, according to the power that works in you. Is that awesome or is that awesome? Now then, Sunday night when we left here, last Sunday night, Cheryl and I left here about 8:30, and we went over to have a bite to eat. We stopped at the Waffle House, one of our favorite places on Sunday night, to stop and have some eggs and waffles. We stopped over there and we get a phone call. And it was one of the men that works with us in the ministry. And he says, telling Cheryl, said, "Dr. Gary Young from Salt Lake City, Utah, which is a very great man of God, a great doctor that's invented lots of things, has a tremendous empire out there worth millions and millions of dollars. He called Gary and he said, 'Gary, these tapes that you left at my house last time you were here, Thurman Scrivener, I need to talk to him. I need him to come out here.' He said, 'Why?' He said, 'Well, this week I was up in the mountains on vacation and I fell out of a 35-foot tree and I've crushed 3 pelvics in my back. And I'm at home in bed in excruciating pain. But I know if I can get this man of God out here to pray for me, I know God's going to heal me.' You see anything right in his confession? You see the difference of hold fast to your confession? His confession is right. So anyway, I told Cheryl, I said, tell Eldon to tell him, he was talking to us, tell him to call me and I'll pray for him. God will heal him before I come out there. You hear any faith in that? I didn't say maybe, if it's his will. I mean, he made us the promises. I believe the King. Amen. So anyway, they made reservations for us to come out the next morning at 8:45 to get on a plane and fly to Salt Lake City, Utah, and come back on Wednesday morning. He said, "I want you to come out here and spend at least 2 days teaching me and my staff and people these things." I said, "Okay, we'll come out there." So I said, "But have him call me. I want to pray for him before I get there because I don't even have to suffer pain all day till tomorrow until I get there." So he called at 10 o'clock. We had just got to the post office. We pulled in just before we got to the post office. My cell phone rang. Cheryl kept saying, "Is he going to call? Is he going to call?" I said, "Be patient, honey. He's going to call. He's going to call." So we get to the post office. And he called just before we get there, and I'm talking to him. Cheryl stops and goes in, gets the mail, and comes back out and everything. And we drive down the road just a little ways. I mean, all this took 20 minutes, I guess, or maybe whatever, or maybe 30 minutes. And when I hung up the phone, she said, well, what do you think? I said, well, that man's faith, he will be healed before we get there. I guarantee it, because my last statement to him was, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you right now, and I'm going to guarantee you're going to get a supernatural healing from the King, and his name's Jesus. And what did the King say I could have if I spoke it with my mouth and believed in my heart, Sharon? Whatever I said, right? I mean, you really step out on a limb when you start believing Jesus, don't you?
Amen.
But we've learned how to do that a little bit, haven't we, girl? Yes, we're learning how to believe Jesus and his word and what he says. Prayed the prayer of faith in him and guaranteed he'd get a supernatural healing from the King. Now he's laying at home with three ruptured discs. He said they care flighted him out of the mountains when he fell out of this tree. When he fell out of this tree, 35 feet up, and fell down and hit on his legs and his rear end, he said they care flighted him out of the mountains to the hospital in Salt Lake. Said it was a 25-minute helicopter ride. And then they run him through a CAT scan and all the stuff they do. And the diagnosis from that hospital and another hospital that both of them checked the reports was that the lower three vertebrae were destroyed. The bottom one was really bad shape. The middle one in between were pulverized, and the one above it was destroyed too. But the one in the middle was totally pulverized, nothing left. As a doctor, he's in bad shape, isn't he, Ty?
Yeah.
He's in bad shape. He's in excruciating pain. But when they said fusion is the only chance that you'll ever walk again, he says, no, I am not going to let you touch me. I'm going home, and I'm going to believe God.
Amen.
Now, that's really a crazy man, you know it? A man is going to go home and believe God when he's tore up that bad? Hey, he's got more faith than you think. This man gets home, and then at 10 o'clock Sunday night, he calls me. And he tells me his situation, and I pray for him. And I told him, I guarantee the Lord to do a supernatural healing. And after I hung up the phone, Cheryl looked at me. She said, well, honey, what do you think? I said, he'll be healed before we get there. I guarantee it. Well, we get home. We're unloading the truck. Cheryl goes in and calls Rosemary, because Rosemary knows Dr. Young personally. And she calls her and tells her that he fell out of a tree and broke his back. And, of course, Rosemary's all crying and everything. She said, don't worry, Rosemary Thurman's prayed your prayer of faith for him. He's going to be okay.
Amen.
She said, okay. So she hangs up the telephone, and I'm outside loading stuff and unloading stuff. And I go out in the truck, and just as I get the armful of stuff, my phone rings again. And so I let everything down, pick it up, and it's a cell phone number or a phone number I don't recognize. So I thought, well, I wonder who that is. So I hit the button. And I said, yes, this is Thurman. And he said, Thurman, this is Dr. Gary Young. I said, well, what did God do for you? He said, I am already completely healed. Already completely healed. He said, the very minute you thanked the Lord, he said, my pain went away. And he said, I got to laying in that bed thinking, you know, I don't have no pain. So he said, I scooted over to the side of the bed, throwed my feet on the floor, and I stood up, and no pain. He said, I walked around the room, no pain. He said, I reached down, got my 17-month-old son, throwed him on my shoulder, run up the stairs and run back down. Let me tell you a little bit about this man. This man married a woman when she was 47 years old, and she was still a virgin. And, of course, they were married for, I think, 4 years or something like that, and she's done past time to have babies. And she said, you know, Gary, I would really have loved to have children with you. He said, no problem. With prayer and the anointing with oils, we'll call you back into your cycles. How many people do you know got that kind of faith?
Wow.
He began to anoint her with oil and pray the prayer of faith over her, and he called her back, and she got pregnant. And at 53 years old, brought forth her first son.
Wow.
Now then, whenever she went to the hospital, they went down there, and there is one of the finest gynecologists that goes to his church in Salt Lake City. And when he went down there and they took Mary, when they saw Mary and they checked her and said, Mary is pregnant, but we need to terminate this pregnancy immediately. And this is a woman in the church. He said, Thurman, if she hadn't been a woman, I'd have knocked her out. I mean, all the praying and the anointing with oil and everything he had done to bring his wife back into her cycles where she could conceive and bear a son. And they said, the son won't be normal. He said, of course he'll be normal. He'll be supernatural. And of course, 9 months later, he said, I delivered that. Said, my wife was, and she still is, a little bitty petite thing. And they said, she won't be able to have it. We'll have to have it cesarean. And he said, I do not receive that. She's going to have this baby normal, and I'm going to deliver myself. If y'all don't do it, I'll come to the hospital. I'll deliver my own baby. So he did. He went to the hospital, delivered his own baby, and she had no complications and no problems, no cesarean, no nothing. And then the doctor said, well, at least there's one thing. She won't never have to worry about having another one. He said, oh, yeah. So he anointed her with oil and prayed over her, and 5 years later, she got pregnant again.
Wow.
And now she just brought another baby, which is 17 months old. The woman is nearly 60 years old, and the little 17-month-old is a ball of fire, as big as any teenage mother I ever seen have a baby. He is a ball of fire. Let me tell you, the church has got to stop thinking like man. We got to start thinking like God. I mean, after all, what did Ephesians 3:20 say? He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all you can even think or imagine. So when you get to where you can think big, let me tell you, you ain't even begin to touch what God can do, have you? And even begin to touch it. So, I mean, I can remember the time when I couldn't have prayed a prayer of faith for a man with a crushed back nowhere. But let me tell you, I have seen God heal backs. I don't even know how many I've seen him heal in my lifetime. But a lot of them. But, I mean, is it any more difficult for him to restore those 3 crushed discs in that man's back than it is to heal a finger?
No.
No, for God, it's all a piece of cake. All it takes is faith. Walk wholly in obedience to God's word, and you will be a vessel of honor for the Master's use. And he'll use you gloriously. Wow. It's lots of fun, isn't it, Frank? It's lots of fun to see God do these wonderful things. I'm telling you, these testimonies are absolutely magnificently awesome. After, you know, I think of the testimonies I've heard today between y'all and these couple that I've had. And then I called on the phones yesterday, and I'll just give you one more little simple one. But it's very important. When I got up yesterday and started calling people, I called till 11 o'clock last night trying to get all my voicemails caught up. So when some of y'all are out with your friends eating dinner and having lots of fun and all that stuff, Cheryl and I's out there packaging packages and returning telephone calls, praying the prayer of faith and kicking devils out.
Amen.
Joe, maybe some of y'all want to know why God don't do nothing for you. Maybe you need to spend a little more time with the King.
Amen.
That's all I got to say. We are 24/7 Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, when I got back from Salt Lake City and all the things that I did last week, when I went to bed Friday night and I woke up Saturday morning, I had the most awesome attack from the devil I've had in a long time. I mean, I had an excruciating headache. I hadn't had one of those in years. Cheryl had to get up and anoint me with oil 2 times before I got rid of that headache. But I finally kicked that devil out and I got up. The devil didn't like what I done last week. He didn't like it. But praise God, I don't like him much either. You know, so the feeling is kind of mutual. Now then, the feeling is kind of mutual. So there's no love lost on either part of us. So, but you got to realize, oh, by the way, the thing I didn't tell you, that Dr. Gary is a Mormon. And everybody I was out there with dealing with in all 3 meetings, Monday afternoon, Monday night, and Tuesday night, were all Mormons. Praise God. Jesus confirmed himself to a, and by the way, Dr. Gary Young just happens, his great-great uncle was Brigham Young, one of the founders of the Church of Mormon. Does God love the Mormons? He loves everybody that loves him. You can be a Baptist and be lost. You can be a Mormon and be lost. You can be a non-denominational and be lost.
That's right.
But you can be any of those and be saved.
That's
or you can be nothing and be saved. It's totally a personal relationship between you and Jesus. When people tell me that they believe in the God of this Bible, the Jesus Christ of this Bible, that He is Lord, He's their Lord and Savior, then I cannot stand before you and say, because you're a Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, or whatever you are, I cannot stand and say you're going to hell, because there ain't nobody knows that but Jesus. So stop judging people until you let the King judge those people, because I can only ask you, are you a believer in Jesus? Now then, before I go to where I'm going to teach in the Word of God, I'm going to take you to Acts 10, and I'm going to show you a verse that the Lord showed me years ago when I asked Him that question. I said, Lord, who is lost and who's saved? How am I going to tell who's lost and who's saved? I want to know. When I deal with people, I want to know if they're lost. I want to know if they're saved. How do I tell? I asked Him for 2.5 hours, and I thanked Him for 2.5 hours, and I didn't get an answer. And finally He spoke. How many of you have ever sought God 2 to 3 to 4 hours at a time, asking a question about one question, and He's never answered you? What, honey?
Don Gordon is at home with 2 broke ribs and couldn't come here because he's in such pain. Could we get him on the phone? You call him and pray for him?
Well, sure, I will. But not right during the church service. I want to do it after the church service, yeah. Okay, I'll do it after the service. We can get anybody healed if they believe God.
Amen.
Jesus will heal anybody. But Don fell and broke 2 ribs. In fact, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to stop right here, Father. I don't even have to have him on the telephone. You hear my prayer, and Don's got great faith. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I rebuke them devils of hell that come against Don Gordon that's caused him to break a couple of ribs. I rebuke you, devil, and command you to get your hands off of him. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to be merciful to us, your children. You did say I could ask anything in the name of Jesus, and you'd do it. So, Father, I ask you to be merciful to Don. I ask you to take away his pain right now. Right now, it is 3 o'clock or 5 minutes after 3, basically. Let it be documented that his pain went away at this 5 or 6 or 7 minutes after 3, and that you completely heal him, and he don't need any kind of doctors or any kind of medication, and you put those ribs back in place, and may he be able to do everything he wants to do from this minute forward in Jesus' name, because you're the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods, and nothing is impossible with you. Nothing. So, Father, you don't never fail us. You made us the promises. We believe you. We stand on your promises by faith in your word. So, Lord, Don is healed right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, if somebody wants to go call him, tell him he's healed, and he'll be healed. All you got to do is call him. If anybody wants to go call him, by the way, if you got a cell phone, turn it off if you're in here. Now then, I'm going to read to you this scripture in Acts 10:42 that the Lord quoted to me when I was asking him, Lord, in fact, the question I asked right there, how many of you have ever sought God 2, 3, 4 hours for one question and he finally answered you? How many have done that? Some of you have. Okay, very few. That's the problem. We come and say, oh God, will you tell me this? And you don't ever talk to him again. I mean, he heard you, but he wants to know if you're going to. He said to them that diligently seek me. That don't mean ask me one time.
That's right.
Diligently seek me. You've got to pursue him. You got to love him. You got to worship him. You got to praise him. And if you do, then he'll answer you. And this is what he did for me when I was praying and asking him, Lord, who is it that's saved? How can I tell if a man is saved or lost? I want to know how I can tell. And I said, Lord, thank you for the answer. Well, I asked him that question over and over and over for 2.5 or 3 hours before he answered me. When he answered me, he said, son, the answer to your question is in Acts 10:42. So I went to Acts 10:42. I didn't know what it said. I didn't have it committed to memory at that time. And it says, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, or the saved and the lost. Now, what does that say to you? From my question that I ask, what does that say to you? What did he tell you and me to do? He commanded us to do what?
Preach.
Preach. What? The gospel. Preach the good news of Jesus Christ. That don't mean part of it. It means all of it. Praise it. Jesus is a Savior. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's everything. He's more than sufficient for all of you. He can take care of every need by far, exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or imagine when you come to Him by faith in His Word. No problem. He is a mighty God. He can do exceedingly abundantly above. But then He says, and it has been ordained. And it says, and to testify that it is He, which is Jesus, which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick or the saved and the dead or the lost. So it's not mine and your job, Terry. It's not mine and your job to look somebody in the face and say, you know, do you believe in Jesus? You say, well, yeah, I do. But you know what you do don't line up with the Word. So you got to be saved, you're going to hell. You're making a judgment that's incorrect. You don't have any idea. You know? But we do that, don't we? Oh, this guy, who knows what he is? You know, I mean, they may be any kind of religion, but they may love Jesus. Did you know that the king said anybody that calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved? It's that simple? Could it be that simple? All I got to say is, Jesus. Well, let me tell you, the day that became a really, really, really revelation to me was after Cheryl had been petitioning God for hours there in that hospital and her dad was laying there dying. And she said, Lord, I got to know if my daddy's saved or lost. I got to know if he's going to go to heaven or not. Lord, please show me something. Because daddy never confessed Jesus but one time to Cheryl in her whole life. So she said, come in. I come in. She said, honey, can we pray for my daddy? I said, sure. I knelt beside the bed and started praying. And all of a sudden, when I started praying, I began to see her daddy. I saw him die, and I saw his body falling backward into the abyss. I mean, his arms are out just like this, and he's falling backwards, just like you're doing a backward swan dive. And I started crying out, Howard, call on the name of Jesus. And the tears just began to gush out of my eyes. I don't know. I didn't know Howard. I'd only seen him two times in my life. Never talked to him over a minute. Had no knowledge of who he was. All I knew, he was Cheryl's daddy. The day he was here, when he gave her to me, and I got married with her, I didn't speak a word to him that day. Nothing. I don't know him. I didn't know him. Had no knowledge. Never spent a minute with him in a house, except the night that they came over to dinner, whenever I told him that Cheryl and I were going to get married. That's the only time I'd ever sat down and talked with him. So I knew nothing about this man. And I don't cry easy. I don't cry easy over nothing or nobody. But that day I burst into tears. I saw a man falling into the abyss of hell. If that won't break your tear ducts loose, you got a problem, right? That broke mine loose. I was seeing him fall into the depths of hell, and I'm screaming, call on the name of Jesus! And I'm doing this out loud. And I'm continuing, and the tears are just gushing, and Cheryl don't have a clue what's going on. And all of a sudden, he's falling way down in there. And all of a sudden, I heard Howard say, Jesus. Wow. And when he did, I saw a beam of light. And it hit him and illuminated. And just like you'd hooked onto him with a big winch, he was sucked up in that light and he was gone in a heartbeat. I thought, wow. Cheryl said, what happened? What happened? And I told her what happened. Is God awesome? Is He awesome? I mean, He can do exceedingly abundant above all you can think or imagine. So get to where you think like God and you'll get to see Him do some of these things. You know, when you start asking Him to do things, when He moves, start doing something, don't start saying, oh God, I can't believe this. Amen. He said, okay, if that's where you live, then I ain't going to show you nothing. I don't want to, you know, shock you. Oh God, I can't believe this. You know, our confession is wrong, isn't it? Who's going to be the judge of the lost and the saved? Jesus. Now then, do I know every one of those Mormons out there I talked to, every one of them, I personally sat down and talked to them, do you know Jesus Christ of the Bible? Is He your Lord and your Savior? And every one of them confirmed to me He was. If Jesus Christ of this Bible is their Lord and their Savior, then case closed for me. That's as far as I can go. Now then, do they have some doctrine that's incorrect? Oh, yeah. They got another book. And that book's full of incorrect doctrine. Well, let me tell you what. I know people in church today, like I was in the Baptist church for years, and we only studied this book, and you know how much incorrect doctrine we had? You know how much we had, don't you?
Good point.
Devils? And me have a devil? There ain't no way I could have a devil. And sickness and disease is caused by sin, and it's healable. And miracles today? No. That stuff went away with the apostles. Well, let me tell you, that's incorrect doctrine. If you haven't realized it yet, let me tell you, the devil is out there to deceive the church. You know how many churches there are? There's one. And it's a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every believer that believes in Jesus is going to get to go to heaven. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're not going to get to go to heaven. And if you get to where you can believe that He is really God and He's really Lord, and if you really believe He can do the things He said He can do, wow, you can see Him do some wonderful things.
Yes,
is that awesome, Fred, or is that awesome? Wow. Awesome God. Just think. Pray the prayer of faith. And a doctor laying out there in Salt Lake City, Utah, which is a Mormon, with a crushed back, with three vertebrae. The top one and the bottom one were really destroyed bad, but the one in the middle, according to the CAT scan or whatever it was they call those things, I don't even know, but whatever they did to run him through, said the middle one is completely pulverized and there's nothing left. But God can take every particle of dust in there and put it right back in the right place, can't He? You can't, can you? No, you can't. You may be a doctor, but you can't put that disc back, but He can. God can put that disc back. He can take all them little pieces that's in there. He can suck them back in there, and He can weld them back and make them better than it was to start out with.
Amen.
All we got to do is believe that He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or imagine. Let me tell you. And then a lady had called me and said her husband is lost. So last night I was calling her husband. Now then, she told me that her husband was lost, and said he will not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Said he has been listening to some of your teaching with me, but she said I've asked him if he'd like to make Jesus Lord and Savior, and she said he says no. Now who is it blinding his mind? The devil. How much power do we have over the devil? So what do we not understand about that? I said, is he anywhere available? She said, well, he's right here. I said, then hand me the phone. Hand him the phone. And as she passed the phone, I said, you devil of hell, come out of him in Jesus' name. I said, and as soon as he come on the phone, I said, now, how are you doing? And he said, well, I'm doing okay. And I talked to him a few minutes about just a little odds and ends things. And then I said, you know what you really need to do is make Jesus Lord of your life. He said, Thurman, I've done too many bad things. I got some things I got to clean up first before I can ever think about coming to Jesus. I said, that's a beautiful part about Jesus. He takes you just like you are, and He cleans you up. I said, you can't clean up yourself, but the King can clean you up. I said, He can take His blood, and He can power wash you, and when He gets through, you'll have the most beautiful white robe on. I said, I don't understand how He does that, but He does. And I said, I guarantee when the King power washes you with His blood, you'll come out of there full of the Holy Ghost and fire. And I said, you won't never be the same. I said, now then, repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. And that man repeated that prayer of faith, and I led him right into the kingdom. When we got through, I said, now look over at your wife and tell her I'm a born-again, Spirit-filled Christian. He said, honey, I'm a born-again, Spirit-filled Christian. Now that's what it's all about right there, right? That's what it's all about, getting people saved. See, that devil has lied to us to make us believe everything he can about everything that's wrong. Number one, he does not want us to come to Christ. That's the first thing. He don't want you to get saved. He don't want you to know Jesus, the King of Kings. Because when you come to know Jesus, then technically speaking, God moves into you. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, once that power is in you, once God is in you, technically speaking, when the devil looks at you, Johnny, the only thing he sees is God. He said, whoa, watch it. And if you're on fire for Jesus, there's angels around you and everything else. He said, whoop, I ain't going to send no, whoa, let me get out of here. You know, I don't want nowhere close to this guy.
See, but if you're just living in the flesh and doing all the thing the flesh says, and you've subdued the spirit, then he comes by and attacks your flesh, makes you sick and torments you and afflicts you. But you don't want to be there.
Amen.
You want to be led by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, full of the Spirit. You want to be knowing Jesus. And then the greater you know Jesus, the greater you know him. When you pray them prayers of faith, wow. The King answers, doesn't he? And he does great and mighty things. God is so awesome today. Wow. Now I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 3, and I want us to start at verse 13. It's amazing how God does this to me. I worked last night and made a whole outline, stayed up to 1 o'clock this morning. And then I get a while ago and he tells me he's got something else he wants me to teach. Isn't that amazing? But he's the boss. I do what he says. I do what the King says. Maybe I'll preach that one next Sunday or something, or who knows. But anyway, I just do what the King says. He's the boss. If you want to see him do miracles like this, you do what the King says, right? You don't never do what the King, you don't never not do what the King says. So anyway, this has happened to me far more than normal. I was sitting there singing a while ago, and a scripture come to my mind. And I thought, uh-oh, Lord, what are you doing? I went over and got my Bible, pulled up and began to read it. And he said, this is where I want you to teach today. I said, okay, God, okay, here it is. 13, Ephesians 3:13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory, or on your behalf. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations. What do you think he meant when he says that? Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. This Dr. Gary Young has invented and created so many oils. To demonstrate his oils, he showed me on his right arm a place there where it was lighter color than the rest of his arm, but yet the hair was there. There was no scab there. There was no scar there. It was just a little lighter. He said, you see that? I said, yes, sir. He said, let me tell you how that came to be. He said, I was going to demonstrate my oils as a product that with your anoint with this kind of oil, you could have no pain with a very deep burn. So he said, I'm telling the people, I think he's got 1,000 people or maybe more in this big convention, and he got an iron over here, a soldering iron that is red hot, and he picks it up and he lays it on his arm. When he lays it on his arm, he said it begins to smell and smoke goes up. His skin's burning, his meat's burning. He said there was people vomited. There was people throwed up. There was people passed out. There was people ran out the doors and some of them got up on the tables and jumped and screamed. He said everything imaginable happened when I did that. But he said I reached over after I'd burned myself and that great big deep burn, plumb nearly to the bone. On top of my arm, I took that oil and began to spray it on there and said in seconds there was no pain. And he said my arm healed without a scab or a scar. Now what can we do if we're turned into God? Where did he learn to do these things? God gave him these recipes for these oils. And he's got many of them. Many of them. They're awesome what he's done. So there's no doubt the devil is after this man. Well, when this man learns what I've learned, in fact, he told me in the 2 or 3 sessions we were together, he told me, said, Thurman, I have learned more about the Word of God in the last 2 days than I have the last 10 years. Isn't that amazing? I love it, don't you? I love to have the Word of God hidden in my heart where I can share it with other people. I love to see God do these wonderful things. But when you got a man that's just been healed of a back injury like that, you got a captive audience. He's listening. You've got something from God he needs. So, but anyway, Paul is saying here, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is to your on your behalf or to your glory. Can you imagine what Paul must have looked like? Can you imagine the prayers that people had to pray for him after he was beaten with a cat of nine tails? I can't even fathom what Paul looked like after the first beating with a cat of nine tails. Now imagine, strip a man naked, tie him to a post, take a handle here with 9 whips in it, and some of them even had bone and glass and steel in the ends of them, and they hit you 39 times with 9 stripes, with 9 leather straps. What do you think your body would look like at the end of 39 stripes? I don't even want to think about it, do you? How long you think it'd take you to get a guy healed like that, Ty? A normal man. Take weeks, wouldn't it? Weeks. How many times would Paul beat like that? 5 times. Can you imagine whenever the Sadducees and Pharisees got through whipping him like that, whenever he would come to church and he would be like that, can you imagine the times that they prayed the prayer of faith for him and God healed him? You know, there's no telling. That might have been one of the times whenever he's there all beaten and bruised and everything else, and they started praying. And can you just imagine seeing God just take those scars away and sew up that blood on his back, and somebody said, whoa, this is awesome. Can God do that? Sure he can. He used Paul in a mighty way. But he was beaten 5 times with a cat of 9 tails. I can only imagine the churches he walked into with his bloody stripes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. 1 time he was stoned and left for dead. This guy had some marks for the Lord. When he said, I carry the marks of the Lord Jesus in my body, he really meant that, didn't he, Fred?
Yeah.
Yeah, he really. Now, none of us so far, and not a single person in here right now has ever carried a mark in their body for the Lord Jesus. Not like that. Not like that. You've never suffered, and I hope we don't never have to suffer like that. But Paul did, and he did that for us. He says, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause, he can still bow his knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. How many? The whole family. How many? The whole family. Is there Methodist, Church of Christ, Baptist, Assemblies of God, Church of Mormon? How many are there? There's one church, the one and only church, and that's the believers in Jesus Christ. Can you be a member of any church in this country and still be dying and going to hell? Sure you can. You may go to church every Sunday, but you're not saved. If you're saved, chances are you'll be wanting to serve God. You'll be wanting to do something for the King. And if you're wanting to do something, you know you're saved. Nobody wants to go out and serve a God they can't see unless they know he's in them and alive. After he does a few miracles for you, Johnny, ain't no question where this God lives, is there? Amen. We know he lives. And that's why you can sing them songs up here like you and your beautiful wife sing them. Yeah, and this other lady, y'all were singing from your heart unto a God that lives. You were worshiping him and praising him because he lives. He's alive. He's here today, I guarantee you. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now that's where you need that strength, in the Holy Spirit, in the inner man. Now then, if you live in the flesh, if somebody says, I want you to do this, I want you to walk holy, this is what you'll say. But you know, I can't do that. The flesh is weak. Yeah, if that's where you're living, the flesh is weak. But if you're living in the Spirit is strong. And you won't yield to the things of the flesh when you're led by the Spirit. Well, how are you going to be led by the Spirit? Paul's praying there that you will be full of the Spirit, strengthened in the Spirit, led by the Spirit. Although he's praying, how are you going to get strong in the Spirit? Read and study the Word. Spend time with God. You can't come to church on Sunday and listen to me preach an hour and a half, and go out of here and be on fire all week long. Chances are the devil's going to steal about 2/3 of it out of your heart when you walk out the door if you're not careful. Isn't that unfortunate? That he'll do that, as the Word of God says he does. And he may steal it all. Some of you may come to church today and say, wow, that was an awesome testimony, and that's awesome. And you might remember the testimony, but you didn't even remember the book or the chapter or nothing about where I preached from today. Isn't that amazing? No, it's not amazing. That's the devil. That's the way he works. But the Word says here in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. How's he going to dwell in your heart? By faith. You got to believe it. What? I got to believe something I can't see? Yeah. Where did I learn it? In this book. I believe by faith the God of this book is alive and well, although I can't see him, I believe he's in me. And I believe when I speak in his name, I'm an ambassador for him. And when I speak, he shows up to confirm what I speak in his name. And boy, did he do it for me this week. Man, have I had some encounters with the Lord this week. Wow. I mean, those are just two of them. I didn't tell you about all of them. I ain't got time to tell you about all of them. But those were two pretty significant ones, so I thought I'd tell you about them. You know, so. Now then, if you didn't see God do anything this week, you need to get in his word a little more. You need to spend a little more time with him. He'll do something for you. Now then, verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now he's asking in a prayer there that we might be able to know the depth, I mean the height, the depth, the width, and everything of the magnificent love of God and his power. Why do we need to know that? Because most of us got him in a box, just like I did most of my life as a Baptist. I had God in a teeny little box. I don't know if I can even make it that small, but it was pretty little. Then one day I began to read the book. When I really began to read the book and laid down the Southern Baptist information they sent down from Nashville, no offense to them poor boys and girls, because I'm now convinced they don't know the Word of God. I'm convinced they don't know this book. They don't read it and don't study it. If they do, they're going to be accountable to God one day. I'm going to tell you, if they're trying to please the Baptist and the Baptist doctrine instead of pleasing Jesus, you're in big trouble one day. Because you ain't going to stand before the Baptist bunch up there when you stand before God. That Baptist bunch is going to stand before God too. All of us are going to stand accountable. So I don't care if you're Catholic, Methodist, Church of Christ, anything you are, you're going to stand before the King of Kings one day yourself for what you've done back down here in this body you've lived in. And he is going to judge you. I want to be like the song said a while ago. I want to hear him say, "Well done, faithful servant." That's what I want to hear. We don't want to hear him say nothing else, do we? But I know of a man that went up there that the Lord didn't say that to him. And of course, the Lord allowed him to come back. And the man's still alive today. He died in 1979. He was a Baptist independent preacher. And he didn't believe in none of these things. And he died and went to heaven, and God told him, "You know, you're not going to get a single reward because you didn't do nothing for me. Nothing." He said, "Oh God, Lord, if I'm not going to get a single reward, I don't want to come in like this. Lord, let me go back, please, and do something for you." He said, "Okay, I'll let you go back. Before I let you go back, I'm going to send you on a tour of the demonic world so you'll know how it works." And he sent him on a tour of the demonic world. And in 1979, he brought Howard Pittman back from the dead, raised him from the dead there in that hospital where he was. And today the man's still alive. Only a few weeks ago, I talked to him myself. Let me tell you, the guy's alive and well. Let me tell you what he says now. "I used to be an independent Baptist and I didn't believe in miracles. But," he said, "Thurman, I've changed my mind. I know God can do miracles now. Praise God." So he's teaching the whole word now, all of it, just like God's revealing it to him. And he's seeing the Lord we serve do some awesome things himself. Now then, in verse 20. "Now unto him that is able." I mean, just think of all the things Paul said. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Where is the power today? It's in us. If you're a born-again Christian, Jesus and the Holy Spirit is in you. And so when you speak in his faith as an ambassador to Christ, he will do great and mighty things for you. The only thing that limits what you'll get to see God do is your faith level. If you worship and praise him and thank him and read this word and study this over and over and over, there's no limitations to what you can see God do. How many of you know beyond a shadow of a doubt the prayer of faith that I prayed for Gary Young last week is a very significant miracle in anybody's book? That's a pretty significant miracle. But how hard was that for God? Piece of cake. All you got to do, son, is pray. Bam, I can take care of that. Did he say he could do exceedingly abundantly above all I could think or imagine? Well, hey, I got to get to the point where I can believe he can do this. Just think, this is where your faith level has to get. I prayed the prayer of faith for him, and then I guaranteed him he would get a supernatural healing from the king. And when Cheryl asked me what I thought, I told her, I said, honey, he'll be healed before we get there. With his faith in mind, I guarantee he will be healed before we get there. But in 10 minutes, actually instantly he was healed. You can't get no better than that, can you? You just can't get no better than that. The king is the king is the king is the king. And I don't care what anybody says. If anybody says, well, I'm not sure there is a real Jesus. Well, let me tell you, how many of you have ever seen three ruptured vertebrae in the back instantly healed by a doctor? With no surgery and no pain. Anybody ever seen a doctor do that? I ain't never even heard of such a thing. But there ain't but one doctor in the universe can do that. And he's invisible, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. Yes. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or imagine, according to the power that works in us. Well, what if your power's not very powerful? What if you don't believe him? What if all you can do is believe him for a little tiny healing, according to the power that works in you? Well, if you don't study much, you won't have much power. If you don't have no faith because you don't know the word, you won't ever see him do very much. In fact, you know what Brother Young told me? He said, I went back in the Mormon church and read the records. And he said, 100 years ago back, they used to see miracles and healings in the Mormon church. He said, my own grandfather, when he was 75, totally went blind, and they anointed him with oil and prayed for him in a Mormon church, and said, my grandfather got his eyesight back, and when he died in his mid-90s, he could still read his Bible without even a pair of glasses. He said, I was like 14 or something, I think he said 14 or 15, when his grandfather died. He said, I can still remember how that happened to my granddad, how he could read, and they told me that he had was blind when he was 75. But at 94, whatever it was, he could read his Bible without even a pair of glasses after prayer in the Mormon church. You don't think Jesus really would show up in the Mormon church. He'll show up anywhere there's faith in his name. He'll show up anywhere there's faith in his name. So that's what we've got to get over. We've got to realize that God's God. And we need to stop making judgments about who's lost and who's saved. If they tell you that the God of this Bible is their Lord and Savior, that ought to be good enough for you and me. I ain't going past that no more. I'm going to believe what he said. Then he says, unto him, verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What a prayer. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Walk worthy. You know what it means to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, to serve a God that meets the criteria of those above verses, that has unlimited power that's in you. Walk worthy. Does that mean you can just lie a little once in a while? Does that mean you cheat just a little once in a while? Does that mean you can just sleep around with somebody else once in a while? No. Walk worthy. Be holy. No sin. Hold fast to your confession. Believe. Does that mean I can just believe some of the Word of God and not believe all of it? If you do, that's sin. And you won't never, that unbelief will cost you your life prematurely. You do not want to go there. With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another to love. Now then, any of us that pray a prayer of faith, regardless of what God does, can we take any glory for it? No. Not at all. I didn't have a thing in the world to do with Dr. Gary's healing except get to pray the prayer of faith for him. But you know what a privilege that is? To get to pray that prayer of faith and see God move like that? How many of you would like to pray that prayer of faith for him and seeing God do that? Ooh, I'm telling you, I'm glad I got to do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I praise you and worship you. That's wonderful, isn't it, Elaine? I mean, don't we love to pray the prayer of faith for somebody and see God move? Oh, man, do we ever. Oh, I love to see the King show up. Wow. I love serving Jesus. I love serving Jesus. Wow. What a God we serve. Wow. Endeavoring, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You mean you think there might be a problem keeping the unity of the Spirit? You mean you think the Spirit could be fragmenting, go different directions? You think it's possible for the church to not be in unity? Hey, are we in unity? Not hardly. I mean, you can go to church and preach the Word of God, and you can get thrown out of church in some churches preaching the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? You know, I hate to say this, but a man was here the other day, told me that at Big Sandy, when I spoke, when God did all those miracles, after a week or two, they edited both my speeches out. And if you buy that deal from Bill Gothard's Ministries, my two talks is not in there. They took them out. Isn't that amazing? Yet God did all kinds of miracles, healed all kinds of people, and Bill Gothard got praise reports for months and months and months. He called me 6 months later and said, I'm still getting praise reports about what God did when you prayed for the people down there. And yet they take what I said out, and you can't buy it. Well, let me tell you, you don't have to buy it from Bill Gothard. Praise God, you can call me and I'll send it to you for free. I got them all. Every one of them. And I don't charge for it either like everybody else does. I give them away, free and post-pay. In fact, Dr. Gary told me up there, he said, Thurman, if we're taking us to the airport, he said, how do you run your ministry? How do you make money? He said, you sell product? I said, no. He said, well, all these teaching, everything that Eldon give me, he said, he give them to me. He said, do you charge people for these? I said, no, I give them away. He said, well, surely you charge them for the postage. I said, no, sir. I send everything out free and postpaid. He said, boy, you really trust God, don't you? Yeah, folks, I really trust God. I remember another old boy sitting right over here in his black suit that told me when I started a church, he said, now, Thurman, you can't give away all this information like you have before because people will take it by the droves and said, you know, you just can't give it away. You got to charge for it. I said, oh, yeah, Fred, watch me. I'm going to give it away. And I've never stopped, have I, Fred? No. I mean, see, he didn't have no faith either. Oh, ye of little faith. But he's got a whole lot more now than he did then. Guarantee he's got a whole lot more faith than he did. Now, you need to have great faith. I mean, after all, did Jesus say in his word in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you? Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom? For with the same measure you use to give, shall it be returned to you? He said, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. So Cheryl, I mean, she sows bountifully. When people call in, she sends boxes of tapes to people. They can't believe the number of CDs and DVDs they get. They may call and want two or three, and she sends them 8 or 10. People call me back. I had a woman this last night, I read her email. She said, I'm Mr. Scrivener, I never heard of this ministry until I got this box of tapes and CDs. She said, how did you get my name? I told her, I said, you know, I have no idea. All I know is yesterday I opened an envelope, a big brown envelope. When I took it out, there was 18 orders to 18 different people in one envelope, and I'm sure it was all of them were different than the one on the front, the name on the front. So I'm sure that somebody ordered some stuff, it lit their fire, and they wanted all of their friends and relatives to have these same teachings. And since they were free and postpaid, they didn't have to buy them, they don't have a problem ordering 18 bunches of stuff. And so I said, that's probably how you got them. I said, just listen to them, and if you're inspired, do the same thing. Send us orders for all your friends, and we'll send them to all your friends free and postpaid. See, that's what we do. And God blesses us abundantly. This ministry has never been in the red. In fact, I was just telling Cheryl on the way to work here, on the way to church a while ago, I said, honey, that 8 acres I bought out yonder a year and a half ago that for the ministry, I said, I financed that for 7 years. I mean, isn't it amazing that I didn't have no more faith in that? And I said, this next month, the first, I will make the last payment on that place. Amen. It'll be paid for in a year and a half. Instead of seven. Wow. Instead of making $1,000 a month payments, I've been making $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month payments on that place. Hey! Does God bless you when you do what He says?
Yes.
Absolutely. And not only does He bless you financially to meet all your financial needs so you can pay all your people that work for you, but He answers your prayers when you pray.
Yes, sir.
Woo! That's the best part. Lord, I thank you for all of it, but I thank you for all of it. Now then, verse 4, there is one body. How many bodies?
One.
There is one body, the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One body and one spirit. There's not a whole bunch of spirits that we belong to. There's a whole bunch of spirits out there, but there's a whole bunch of them out there that are doing what they're doing to the church. They're lying to the church. We've got spirits of lying, spirits of deception. We've got doctrines of devils in every church in the world. There's not a single church that's not under attack today with the devil. The devil is blinding the mind of people. He does not want you to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Think, Jesus was a Jew, and Jesus came to the Jew, and he walked among the Jews, and he produced tens of thousands of miracles in 3 years. I mean, everything, raised them from the dead. I mean, the little boy, the little girl, and then those Jewish Sadducees and Pharisees said, okay, they hadn't been dead long enough. They'd all died, and he raised them up that minute or the few minutes later or the next day. But if they were dead 3 days, then their spirit would have to be gone because the spirits leave after 3 days. I don't know where they get that information. But they said if somebody raised someone from the dead after the third day, we'd know he'd have to be God. They just hung themselves right there when they made that statement. So Lazarus died. And they said, come over here, Lazarus is dead. He said, oh yeah, he's okay. We're not going over there till a few days from now. So they get over and Martha says, oh, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not die. He said, no problem. If you believe, you shall see the glory of God.
Amen.
If you what? Believe. Lord, I believe. I believe. Do you believe he'll rise again? Oh, yeah, Lord, at the end of the age, he'll rise. I know it's the resurrection. He said, if you believe in me, I am the resurrection.
Amen.
I am the life and I'm the truth. I am the resurrection. Now, she still didn't get it. She's almost as dense as we are. She still didn't get it. I mean, he's there telling her exactly what the truth is, and she's not believing it. And then he walks up to that grave, and he says, roll the stone away. And what'd they say? Oh, Lord, please, don't have him roll the stone away. He's been dead 4 days. He'll stink. Everybody knows that, don't they? You've been dead 4 days. Let me tell you, this piece of flesh that smells real good. I walked up to my wife the other day, and she said, don't get close to me. I haven't had a bath. And I reached over and kissed her on the neck. I said, you stink so pretty. But let me tell you, there's going to come a day when that flesh, hers and mine both, ain't going to smell good. You know it? It's going to stink, sure enough. It's going to die one day. And it's when it dies, well, then it's over. It's going to deteriorate. But right now, we're alive and we're well. And so, praise God, I'm going to love her. I'm going to treat her like a woman. Do everything I can for as long as I can keep her. Until Jesus takes us both home in a rapture. That's how we're going, praise God. That's my confession.
Amen.
Now then, one Lord, verse 6, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. How many Lords?
One.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
He is God. One Holy Spirit and one Father, and they all make up one God. And they've always been God, and they always will be God. But let me tell you, to prove that he was God, beyond a shadow of a doubt, to those Jews, this is what blows me away. When them men all knew that Jesus professed to be God, and Lazarus had been in that tomb 4 days, and they knew his body was stinking and decaying, but yet he goes up there, and he has been mummified with 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe, and he is totally encapsulated in a mummy. Totally. Just like Jesus was when he was put in that tomb. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. He had to be very careful what he said, or everybody would have come forth. He called Lazarus, and Lazarus was the only one that had come forth. And it says, and Lazarus stood in the doorway. Now, Lazarus didn't get up off the side of that bed, or that, put his feet down on the floor and walk up to the entryway to that tomb and say, hey, here I am, guys. I'm alive. No, he was totally, completely encapsulated in a mummy form. And so, you know what Jesus said? When he says, and Lazarus stood in the door, here he is. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. So they went over and started cutting him off. They started cutting out. I can see him now cutting that thing off, pulling it off. When he got the face, he said, "Sure glad you guys got that off. I was having trouble breathing in there." Can you imagine that, Johnny? Wouldn't that have been awesome to have been one of those disciples to get to see the king raise that guy from the dead? And when they cut that thing off his face, that skin under just as beautiful as yours is.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? He's been dead 4 days. Woo! Is that a God we serve?
Amen.
What can he do?
Everything.
Everything exceedingly abundant above all we can think or imagine. You got to stop thinking like men and start thinking like God. Wow, when you start thinking like God just a little bit, you can see the king do awesome things. Awesome thing. How many of you would believe if Mrs. Boulding had told you, "I was under all this problem pressure and I tried to commit suicide twice and I came down to a healing school and this pastor kicked a devil out of me and asked the Lord to reveal to me somehow that my son was okay and leave and get to across the border and stop at a Brahms and come out and her phone had ring a little beep and she picks it up and it's her son which had been dead 4 months. On her cell phone. How many of you believe God can do something like that? Hey, if you don't believe he can do something like that, you need to think different. Somebody said, "I don't believe he can do that." Okay, you're still thinking like me. You need to stop thinking like me and start thinking like God. After all, he's the king of the universe. He's king. He can do anything. Wow, what a God we serve. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Wow. He's in us all that are believers. He's in us. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He has a gift of grace that's given to each one of you. He's got a different gift for each one of you. And he's given you that grace, that measure of something to be used for his glory. And so find out what it is and work at it. Because if you'll take that gift of grace, that measure of grace that he's given you, I don't care what it is. It may be, you may be just called to be a prayer warrior in your closet at home and nobody never may know who you are. But if you do what God says for you to do and you become that awesome intercessor, when you get home one day, the bands of heaven will welcome you home and you'll get a mansion beyond your wildest dreams. And there ain't nobody on earth even knows who you are. But he'll know who you are. Guaranteed. So don't think you got to be a big television preacher or anything else. You got the only difference is when you're a television preacher or you're up front, it just takes a little bit more work to keep yourself humble so God keeps doing things for you. Because the very minute you start seeing him do too many things, you want to say, "Woo, look at me." "Oh yeah," he says. "Oh yeah, you? I don't need you no more, son." Bam, and it's over. "Well, I ain't tired of living yet, Johnny. I want to live a little longer." You know, you understand where I'm coming from, right? You ain't ready to go home either, are you?
No, I'm not.
No, you want to live and love your beautiful bride a few more years, right?
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Praise God. We want to live and love and be the ministers of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Wow, he gave these gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is but that he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth? Well, he came from heaven to earth, he lived here, and then he died and he descended into the lowest parts of hell. And then he came out of there back among breathing men for another 40 days. Wow, how many people do you know that's ever done that? I mean, but he can do that, can't he? I mean, I don't know anybody that died and went to hell and stayed down there 3 days and then rose again and came among breathing men. And then when he raised from the dead, when he came out this time, the Old Testament saints, he brought them all out with him.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
The Old Testament saints, all those older people that had died, Abraham, all of them, Simeon, all of those prophets, all of those men of God and women, Sarah, all of the men and women that was down there in the center of the earth when he came out of there. He led them out of there, and they came above breathing men. Wow, can you imagine the excitement in the streets of Jerusalem? And all these things happened to the Jews. And what really blows me away is when them Jews that saw him raise Lazarus after the fourth day, he said many of them believed in him. But it said some of them went away to figure a way to kill him and Lazarus both. That's got to be a supernatural demon blinding the mind of a human being. No human being in his right mind could go there. If you, in your right mind, without demonic oppression, had seen a man die, you've seen him embalmed, you've seen him wrapped with 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe, totally sealed. Let me tell you, if you had been alive, if you come in here today and you let me embalm you with 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe and totally wrap you and seal you with myrrh and aloe, I guarantee in a few minutes you're going to be dead if you wasn't dead. You know that? Because when I sealed you up in that stuff, there ain't going to be no air in that cocoon very long. A few breaths of oxygen, and it's all nitrogen, and you ain't going to be able to breathe nothing, and you're dead. And so 4 days later, your body's going to be stinking anyway. But it makes no difference. Lazarus had died before that. And they put him in there, and think, they saw him raised from the dead, saw him stand at the entryway, and they cut him loose, and there he was totally well, and he went out and had something to eat with them, and some of them believed. But some of them said, we need to kill him. And Lazarus. That's got to be supernatural demons that blind our mind to that kind of stuff. No human being in his right mind would not believe that was God. You agree with that? Absolutely. The demonic oppression on this earth is the one, just like the scripture says, that's blinding the mind of human beings to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Yes.
That devil is a powerful beast.
Yes.
But technically, he has no power over us. Only unless we give it to him.
Amen.
He has to obey us in the name of Jesus. And yet we as Christians, we'll go out and sin, open the door wide open, the beast comes in, make us sick and afflicts us and torments, then we wonder, why? Oh God, why am I sick? Why am I afflicted? He said, get your sins straightened up and come to me in faith and I'll heal you. But he says, walk in faith, walk in love, and you don't never have to be sick. Now that's a whole lot better than having to get healed.
Amen.
I don't want no sickness disease, do you?
No,
it pays much, much, much better dividends to walk in love.
Amen.
Makes everything go better.
Amen.
Then he says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles. Now, wait a minute now. I was in the Baptist church 65 of my years before I got out of the Baptist church. And do you know we never read that verse? And he gave some apostles and some prophets. But we would say, but he did give some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. How in the world can you read that verse and God, you take the apostles and prophets out and leave the next three? I never have figured that out. I don't know how the devil blinds our mind to that. Now, I don't know about all these other churches, but I do know about the Baptists because I was only in there 65 years. I have a little experience with Baptists. A little. I was a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, and I mean a servant of the church. But I didn't know these things until I started reading the whole book. But this says that he gave some apostles. Now, if you don't, since he's a faith God, if you don't believe he can make you an apostle, guess what? He won't never make you an apostle.
That's right.
If you believe he can make you an apostle, if you believe you're apostle material,
amen.
He will make you one.
Amen.
He'll make you one. Say, Lord, I may not be much, but praise God with you in me. There ain't nothing mean you can't do together. So, Lord, if you want to make me an apostle, you want to make me a prophet, you want to make me an evangelist, a pastor or a teacher, praise God, Lord, I'm ready to go do whatever you want me to do. Just open that door and let me go. I'll do something because I know with you I can't fall down and stay down. I may fall down and trip a couple times. I may get to running too fast and trip in the tall grass. Like the other day, I got to running across my pasture. I'm always in a hurry going something. And all that big old long, tall, twisted grass. And I'm running out there and I seen Ty laugh right. He knows exactly what I did. I went running across that pasture and my foot hung in some of that stuff. And you know how fast you can fall forward at a dead run? Bam! Just like that. I hit the ground, throwed both hands out and caught myself. I got up and said, well, I guess I better slow down just a little out here in this tall grass. You can't run in grass this tall, especially when it's all matted and turned in there. When you hang your foot, it's just like a rope caught you and it just throws you down on the ground. Now, some of you guys that are farmers may have done that before in your life. You may know what I'm talking about. But guess what? I didn't stay down.
That's right.
I got back up. I dusted myself off, and of course, I always look around and see if anybody's watching me do that dumb thing. Y'all know where I'm coming from? You don't want nobody to see you do a dumb thing like it fall right out in the middle of the pasture. He can't even stand up out there. How is it we always do that, Johnny? When we make a mistake, we know we look dumb. You know, we look around and see, was anybody, oh, I hope nobody was watching me fall down on my face. Oh, well, forget it. You know, it's all over. And he gave us all these positions as apostles and pastors, or prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now, what's the job of these guys? Perfecting of the saints. Do you think he wants you saints to become the same things? Yes, he does. So, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. You're to be about the king's work. You know, you're not working for yourself. You're not working for some company. If you're a Christian, you're working for Jesus.
Amen.
If you want to walk in divine health, you better work for Jesus. When you go into work in the morning, you better walk in praising the king. Some people think you're crazy, but if you ever want to see God do miracles, that's what you got to do. I think it's over Matthew 10:32, I think, where he says, if you do not confess me before the Father which is in heaven, neither will I confess you. If he don't confess me and you, we're in trouble. Guess what's going to happen? Nothing. So I want to confess him before man. When I confess him before man, man, he makes wonderful things happen. And I love it when he makes these wonderful things happen. For the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The most powerful organization in the world today is the body of Christ. And the devil gets us so mixed up fighting against each other instead of working together as saints, we lose it all. We don't see God do nothing. Just like Gary said out there, he said, Thurman, I've not seen a miracle in the Mormon church in over 100 years. I told him, I said, well, don't feel bad. I've been in the Baptist church for 65 years, and only in the last few years when I learned to pray the prayer of faith, the only miracles I ever saw in the Baptist church too. Now, isn't that strange? They say you could be in the Baptist church for 55 years, 50 years at least, and never see one healing or one miracle or one answer to prayer that I knew was an answer to prayer. And I sure never saw one like his healing. I sure never saw one like that Baptist man down there in Manny, Louisiana, over a year ago, that maybe 2 years ago now, that had prayed over his knees, had both crushed knees, was never going to walk again. They already did another surgery on him. Forget it. He hadn't walked a step in 21 months. Prayed the prayer of faith for him 2 minutes. He's running all over that church screaming, God is awesome. Let me tell you, even a Baptist can get excited. Whenever a man can't walk, you pray the prayer of faith for him. It's just like Friday night, we went and done a wedding for Philip and Krista. We got them married off, and his grandmother was there. And of course, I told the story to all of Philip's family about his miracle. He said, Thurman, it'll carry more weight from you than it did me. But his grandmother, I told the story and I asked him how many of them knew Philip when he had all them warts and scars all over his body. And several of them did. And I said, and he came and I prayed the prayer of faith for him. And I said, in a matter of weeks, all of Philip's warts and scars were gone away. And that was 10 years ago. Isn't that awesome? A little boy, 11 years old, covered with warts and scars all over his body, and you pray a prayer of faith for him, and in 3 weeks, not a wart on his body, and 1 more week, not a scar on his body. The king took even the scars off. Now, see, the reason the scars off, too, because the average person said, oh, okay, there has been things changed in people's body, and warts can come off. But how many of them you know that scars come off? You ever seen a scar come off anybody's body? No, they don't come off unless you pray them off, do you? Scars don't come off. I mean, you can have one and you can have it all of your life. just like little Kelly. She had two huge ones across there after the car wreck. Prayed a prayer of faith for her, in a month, they're completely gone. Isn't that awesome? Can God take off scars? Oh, he can do what, Johnny?
Anything,
exceedingly abundantly above. All we got to do is make ourselves perfect for the Master, purging ourselves of all iniquity and sin, all so we'll be fit for the Master's use, right? The Master don't use a slob. He ain't going to use somebody that's out there living in sin. He ain't going to use somebody out there that don't know his word, is he? Not likely. He can if he wants to, because he's God. But he'd a whole lot rather use you when you're a purified vessel.
Amen.
And he says, there's one of my daughters, my son. They're pure. Okay, now I've got a need, and he'll tell you to do something. And you know what most of us do when God tells us to do something? I had a lady the other day that's purified herself, set herself, sanctified herself with the Word of God, and she was walking somewhere the other day, and the Lord spoke to her and said, see that man over there? She said, I heard his voice. She said, yes, Lord. She said, see, he's sick and afflicted? Yes, Lord. He said, if you'll go over and lay your hands on him, I'll heal him. The devil said, but what if he don't? Oh, God, Lord. And she was kicking herself when she come to me. She was kicking herself. Because who did she listen to? The enemy. I mean, you start to do a miracle, you hear the voice of God tell you to do something, and you start to do it, I can guarantee you the enemy's going to be right behind you. Enemy's going to be right, oh, you fool. What if he don't do it for you this time? You're going to really look like a dummy this time. He's good at that, you know it? Don't believe that beast. If you hear the voice of God tell you to do something, you run over and jump right in the middle of it, you don't care what happens. You'd be like Tommy back there that prayed the prayer of faith for that guy, and that guy's healed completely of category of stage 4, cancer. Woo! You think that guy's happy in that church? Wow! Is God awesome or is he awesome? There ain't nothing the king can't do. All he's looking for is faith after you purify yourself and cleanse yourself from all iniquity and sin and walk holy before him. Wow! Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I can't believe it's already 4 o'clock. The time goes by too fast when we're talking about you and your miracles, Lord. I don't see how an hour and a half can go by that quick. But Lord, it can. Especially when we're totally engulfed in you and your word. You're so magnificent, Lord, I can now begin to understand how heaven's not going to have any time. Who would ever think about time when we're with a king? Lord, I praise you and thank you and worship you. I praise you for these miracles you've done for all these people this week. I thank you for all these testimonies that people have had, even those that have had miracles and testimonies that we didn't hear them. Lord, you know who they are. But we praise you for them too. We know you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. Yes. We ask you to give us knowledge and wisdom and understanding and revelation from your word so that we can walk in this kind of power. All of us, Lord. All of us. And need greater things than these. We want our anointing to increase. Lord, I appreciate so my honey bunny, which prays for your anointing to increase on my life every day. She prays those prayers of faith for me every day. And I'm grateful, Lord, for her. And for her prayers of faith for me, because you're hearing her prayers and you're increasing my anointing day by day. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life. Thank you, Lord, for giving us each other. Thank you for giving the body of Christ to each other. And Lord, let us realize that we're one, all of us. We're children of the King of the universe. We're one body together in Christ. Lord, help us to walk in love to all of them and teach all of them what the Word says. And then pray one for another that we may all be walking in divine health and no sickness and disease in the church.
Yes.
Father, I thank you. Now, as we pray for people, as we open the invitation for anybody that needs to be saved, they need to invite Jesus Christ into their heart. It's so simple. All you got to do is come up here and say, Jesus, I believe, and he'll save you. And if you need to be healed, it's that simple also. All you got to do is make sure all your sins are repented and come up here and we'll pray for you. And if you'll believe with me, God will heal you. He'll set you free. And Father, I thank you and praise you for your word, which is so awesome. And we love you and may you bless us this week as we go forth in Jesus' name. Amen.